This is former Ring of Honor World Champion Adam Cole, baby, and you're listening to Condo on the Moon Podcast.
Welcome to the Condo on the Moon. Things a little different this week. We have a big, huge guest on the program, and we have a co-host that we don't normally have. We have Josh Lopez along for the ride. Hello, Josh. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. How about you?
I am doing all right as well, and in fact, that is exactly how our interview with our guest begins, and it is Adam Cole from Ring of Honor who joins us, and it's an appropriate time to have Adam on, because Adam just recently got named to the Pro Wrestling Illustrated Top 500 in the Top 10. A huge accomplishment for him. We'll get his thoughts on that, all that's going on with the Kingdom, and of course, this crazy Michael Bennett bachelor party, which I understand, and this is part of the there's a lot of reasons why you're filling it in for Chris Walder today, because Walder has a bunch of Raptors stuff to get done, too, with the season kicking off in the NBA. But you're going to be at this event, so I imagine this will be exciting for you to hear from Adam Cole on what all you are in for at this event. And let me tell you, Adam Cole told some things about this event. I am jealous, Josh. I wish I could be going to this event. I'll be very honest about that.
You know, it's kind of cool how they're doing, like, these kind of unsanctioned shows, so they're not going to be, like, taped to TV or whatever. So it's, like, a straight-to-DVD thing, but it's pretty cool. They had one of these last year called The Night of Hoopla, where they had all of Truth Martini and this Hoopla girl, so I thought that was pretty cool. And then one of the funniest things I've ever seen in wrestling was the fact that Jay Lethal and Delirious actually played out the entire WrestleMania 8 match. No, I think it was between
seven.
No, actually it was the 7 with Warrior and Savage, Macho King. So that was pretty cool. And then just looking at the matches that were already announced, they posted the video yesterday on ROH's YouTube channel of Adam Cole now become the matches. You got Mark Briscoe against Roderick Strong. The loser in that match is not allowed to drink any alcohol throughout the rest of the night. I mean, you can't beat that. And you got Jay Briscoe taking on Rhino. I think also you said nice little jab here. It's like, oh, don't worry, internet fans, I got a nice treat for you. So don't get all bent out of shape. So he has ACH against Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, and I think there's one other match that was announced for this, but Adam wasn't able to let us in on the matches per se, so it's a good thing we ran those down. This show goes next week in Chicagoland area, and as we mentioned, Josh will be there. So all I'm saying, Josh, is I'm telling you, be careful. This sounds like it's going to be a wild time. Adam Cole has really got me excited for what this event could be, and this is one of those rare events in wrestling where real life and wrestling are coming together, because Mike and Maria are legitimately getting married the next day.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. I wanted to see what Maria does on the show, what Mike does on the show, and I can't wait for next Thursday.
Well, let's put it this way. Maria is not supposed to be on this show. Do I think she may make her way there? Who knows? But
yeah.
Adam Cole, we'll let Adam Cole tell you. Adam Cole has a message for Maria, and he believes that all will be fine when all is said and done with this bachelor party, and no damage will come to his kingdom based on this bachelor party, and we certainly hope so for Adam, because Adam's a great guy, and this is his second time being on the show, and it's always a pleasure to talk to Adam, because he may play a total jerk in his character in ROH, but in person and talking with him for interviews like this, one of the nicest people I have met in covering pro sports and wrestling, the whole nine yards. Adam Cole is a class act and a class individual. And with that said, are you ready to hear from Adam Cole, Josh?
Yes, I am.
It is our pleasure to welcome back, I think, our biggest guest ever, and definitely one of my favorite guests, and he's had a tremendous 2014. He is Ring of Honor's Adam Cole. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Everything's great with me, but more to the point, how are you doing? you know, this week, news came out, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, you are a top 10 wrestler in the world, number 9. How did that feel?
Yeah, man, that was such a cool moment for me. I think mainly because I think back to, everyone has a story about Pro Wrestling Illustrated. You know, the magazine has such a great history with all of us, for anyone who's been a fan of wrestling or followed wrestling. And I remember my grandmother used to take me to the grocery store when we were younger, and to keep me occupied while she went shopping for groceries, you know, I would look at the PWI magazines, and my favorite issue was the PWI 500, because I always wanted to see who the top 10 were going to be. So for me to be ranked number 9 this year is really cool, and it's really motivating too. So it's going to be really challenging for me to beat that number next year, but a lot of people have said, and I even said it myself, that I never thought I'd make it in the top 10 wrestlers in the world, so never say never, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's been a tremendous year for you, though. We talked to you, the last time we got to talk to you was heading into the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, which ended up being a big event, and you know, since that time, no longer the champion, how has that been for you? Does that change life for Adam Cole at all, like outside of the ring and all that? I know y'all always want to be the champion and whatnot, but does your life change any from that?
Actually, not too much. I remember thinking, because right when I first became champion, that was when the PR work that I did for Ring of Honor really increased, where, you know, whether it be interviews that I did or going to different Sinclair stations, you know, as the world champion, you're the guy that represents the company. So I did a lot of that work. Fortunately for me, because I really enjoyed doing it, you know, regardless of the fact that I'm no longer the world champion, I'm still very, very busy during the week doing that kind of stuff. If anything, I've been busier because, you know, Ring of Honor has grown so much, even these past few months with added stations and us being on pay-per-view now. So really not too much has changed, you know, other than I think there's kind of an extra focus when you're on the chase, and I even mean that with this, you know, profession as far as me in real life. When you're chasing to get back on top, you always have a little bit more of an edge, and you push yourself a little bit harder because you want to get it again.
Yeah,
so that's certainly the mentality I've had.
And they say that there's that old expression that the world championship in any promotion, in any company, is where the reality and the storyline come together and they meet. And it's kind of
right.
That whole arc of where it really does mean something. After you get that taste of a championship, I know players say this in professional sports all the time. I would imagine it's the same in wrestling. Once you've got a taste of it, you just want more of it, or is that wrong?
No, that's 100% right. And I even think, too, because, you know, what we do is an art form, and as an artist, I think, you know, to that time where when I first won the world championship, how much that meant to me. And, I know, generally speaking, a lot of people were happy with the run. I really enjoyed the fact that I got to be champion. But now I think, you know, now almost that I got that initial pressure out of the way of, what's going to happen being champion? You know, handling this pressure, especially the Ring of Honor World Championship, is such a challenging position to fill. And now that I've been in that position, I just think to myself all the time, you know, what I could do with a second world title reign. So yeah, absolutely. When you taste it for the first time, you definitely want it again.
Is there that moment though of relief too? Like just for that split second of, okay, it's done.
Right. No, I know what you mean. It's funny you say that because there is kind of a moment of relief. But by moment of relief, keyword there is moment. I mean, it's there and it's gone. You know, for a second you feel like, oh, cool, you know, well, I don't have this pressure anymore. But actually, pro wrestling, especially at this level for me where, you know, I just turned 25, at this point in my career, I'm so hungry. And what comes along with growing in pro wrestling is a lot of pressure. And for me, I deliver best in high-pressure situations, and I perform at my best under high-pressure situations. So, of course, there for a second, you get to sit back, smell the roses, take a breath of fresh air, and kind of relish in the accomplishment for what it was. But just as quickly, you want to get the championship back.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things you got to do not long after that was you got to travel to Japan. I've heard your thoughts in other interviews, but quite a moment for you to get over to Japan and work with Michael Bennett and Maria Kanellis. And, you know, that had to be something big for you.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think on multiple levels, the two biggest things for me taking away from that, obviously, you know, wrestling for New Japan Pro Wrestling, the top wrestling promotion in Japan, was awesome in front of that many people. But the two biggest things, I thought it was a really great step in the right direction for the Kingdom faction in Ring of Honor, for me and Michael Bennett to go over there with Maria also. It was really good for our group, and I think it allowed us to make a solid impact, not only in New Japan, but to kind of let Ring of Honor know that we were the real deal as a team. And then at the same time, getting to wrestle again the legendary Jushin Thunder Liger, and getting to do it in his backyard this time was equally as cool for me. So, yeah, it was an awesome experience. I certainly hope to go back again soon. And, yeah, New Japan's the best.
Yeah, there's rumblings that may happen, but I know we can't confirm or deny that at this point. So we'll leave that alone. You mentioned Mike.
We'll leave that for speculation.
Exactly. We will speculate about Michael Bennett and Maria Kanellis. You mentioned part of your Kingdom there in Ring of Honor. You are going to be hosting a bachelor party for Michael Bennett.
You got it right.
Okay, this intrigues me on so many levels, because I said on our podcast, if I was going to pick someone to plan my bachelor party, I think you would be a strong candidate, sir. So I am interested in how this all works. We know how wrestling weddings work. We've seen that. Very often they end in disaster. I do not know how a wrestling bachelor party works. So please enlighten me on what we can expect from this spectacle.
Well, sure. Well, you know, Michael Bennett's bachelor party will be hosted at a Ring of Honor unsanctioned event. And the only other unsanctioned event that we've had before this was the infamous Night of Hoopla event that Truth Martini and the House of Truth hosted. So anything can and will happen at this bachelor party. It's something I'm really looking forward to. You know, on the reel, I have a lot of creative input into this event. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's legitimately going to be and feel like Michael Bennett's bachelor party. So whatever in your mind you've seen before, or you can imagine in your brain about how a professional wrestling bachelor party would go down, it probably can and will occur, and there will be a lot of surprises too. So it's going to be a party for the ages, man. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like it, and I remember that Night of Hoopla event. That was quite the event. Well, you were on that show, were you not?
I was. Actually, I was in the opening match. It was myself and the newest member of the Kingdom, Matt Taven, and Eddie Edwards in a three-way for the television title.
I was going to get to that a little later, but let's talk about it now. Matt Taven is now part of the Kingdom. We've had him on the show a couple of times, and I think this is a tremendous fit for him. I think this really works, and I know he has a great relationship with Michael and obviously with yourself, and this seems to be something that not only works for him, but works for your group and keeps your group kind of moving along.
Oh, certainly. You know, you made a great point. You said this was a great fit for Matt Taven, and truth be told, is he's a great fit for us too. You know, he's exactly what you had said. Him and Michael Bennett are really close friends. And truthfully, me and Matt Taven are really close friends too. And, you know, all three of us are really, really tight outside the ring. And I think that's really going to show inside the ring. Like I said, I think he's a great fit for us. He's a perfect match for our group. And we're just getting started too, so things are going to get really interesting.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And when I heard the news, I was really excited for Matt, and I was really excited for you guys, because I think it is a nice marriage with everyone in that group. Now, this thing about this bachelor party, though, this is not only just wrestling Goo Goo Gaga, this is legitimately, too, because Mike and Maria are legitimately getting married the next day.
Right, that's absolutely correct. So that makes it even crazier. To think that we're hosting this crazy bachelor party event, and then the next day these two are legitimately going to get married is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of awesome in a strange way. It reminds me of, there was a famous WWE event where Stephanie fought her father, and it was the week before her legitimate marriage to Paul Levesque. So I assume with this bachelor...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm assuming with this bachelor party, we're trying not to get anyone hurt or damaged for the wedding. So, or else...
Right, it is pro wrestling, so never say never, but yeah, we cannot... We can all knock on wood and say that we hope no one gets hurt.
Yeah, and obviously, what about the bride here? Because she's part of the kingdom, but this is a bachelor party. How the heck is that going to work?
Right, I don't know if Maria is going to be too happy with the condition of her husband, or soon-to-be husband, the following day. And I don't mean on, you know, getting beat down. I mean the things that come with celebrating at a bachelor party. But I'm sure she'll forgive him and myself, because after all, we are all part of the kingdom, so...
All right, I don't want this to cause any friction and the kingdom falls apart because of this bachelor party. I mean,
No. The kingdom's too strong. We all love each other.
Well, I heard someone on Twitter, their description of this event, and I will get your reaction to it. They said this is basically ROH meets the movie The Hangover. How close are they?
That is a very, very accurate description. Whoever that gentleman was, bravo, because that's about as close as it's going
to
get.
And I'm ashamed to admit it, but I don't remember who it was either. So if you're out there listening to this interview, congratulations. You gave me a great question for Adam. Other things going on in your world. Kevin Steen, obviously, we talked just prior to starting this. He's moved on from Ring of Honor. And how has that been? Like, how was dealing with him going in that final show? It seemed like an emotional event for everyone in the company, and then how has it been since then?
Yeah, it really was to me, because you know, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but Kevin played a very vital role in my growth as a wrestler, really since I started in Ring of Honor. He was a guy that kind of believed in me before I really believed in me, and he played a really big role in the character that I developed out at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. So Kevin is just, he's so smart, and he's so good, and he's made such a rare connection with the fans that you really only see once in a lifetime, which is not only why he ended up in the WWE, but why he's going to have a very successful career there. So, obviously, it's bittersweet. You know, he's a good friend of mine, so to see him go, it's always sad. But I'm happy that he gets the chance to perform and showcase his skills on the biggest stage that there is, which, like I said, he totally deserves. So Kevin, I'm sure, will do very, very well, and but I'm sure at the same time he certainly misses everybody in the world of independent wrestling.
Yeah, and he left such a big mark on that promotion, and you know, we're seeing that now with NXT. I mean, we're starting to see all of these talents that have been major players on the independent scene become part of that fold down at NXT. I think it's an obvious that has to be an encouraging thing for someone like you.
I think certainly. I think actually the way the entire wrestling landscape has been changing is very encouraging. And that's not just for guys to say that, you know, eventually they'd like to go to the WWE. I think it's just very exciting now to be a wrestling fan, because the style that the fan demands now, to me, is so much different than it was 10 years ago. I mean, when you have guys who came from Ring of Honor, like your CM Punks and your Daniel Bryans and your Seth Rollins, or guys who came from other independents like Dean Ambrose and Luke Harper, who are just really tearing it up and doing great, great things, and the fans are wanting to see this style of match, it's forced the entire wrestling industry to kind of step their game up. So everyone's constantly on their toes, everyone's giving the best performance they possibly can. And in turn, that's creating a really exciting wrestling product, whether that be in the WWE or whether that be in Ring of Honor.
And one of the topics that's a big deal with fans, and I want to get your take as a wrestler, because I'm interested in this. Fans get very upset and and just bitter at the fact that some people's names have to change when they go to that place. Is that something that bothers a wrestler? I can't imagine it would.
Yeah, it really doesn't, actually, because generally speaking, as a wrestler, you're constantly changing and you're constantly adapting. That's one of the things that you have to learn very quickly, because if you don't learn that, your chance of progression and succeeding just won't happen. So I kind of compare that to this, is even something as simple as, you know, when I was a babyface in Ring of Honor, if all I ever wanted to do was be a babyface, and then Ring of Honor told me that I had to turn heel and I didn't feel comfortable with it and I felt like they were changing me, that in turn would mean that I wouldn't be as successful. So whether that be in the WWE or whether that be in Ring of Honor, like I said, you're constantly being forced to change, you're constantly being thrown in different roles, and your job as a talent, whether you feel comfortable with it or not, is to make it as good as it possibly can be. So generally speaking, guys are very comfortable with change, and you just have to adapt to it.
Yeah, and is it helpful, too, in the sense that it almost, it makes your mindset to, this is a different place, this is a different time, this is something brand new?
Of course, I think so, and it keeps things exciting as well, because after you do the same thing over and over again, it has a tendency to get redundant, not only for the wrestler, but for the fan. So when, you know, the wrestler is forced to do something a little different, and it may not be that drastic. You know, there are certain guys who will, you know, had certain gimmicks on the indies, and then they do something completely different in WWE, but that person is very much the same, or that person still delivers great performances. So, I think it's more exciting, actually. Like I said, it keeps you on your toes.
Indeed. One of the things that you have been doing oh so well of late, we'll get into the match itself, but I was almost more impressed with the promo that was cut after the match that happened here in Toronto. I thought the promo you did about the match with AJ Styles, it was really tremendous. I applaud you on it. The way you flipped that switch to go from everyone praising you to your anger, I thought was just some brilliant stuff, and I applaud you on it.
Oh, thanks so much. And I think that's become such a crucial part of the Adam Cole character at the moment. Because for me, I've always been such a big fan of, you know, a great promo. And whether that be on any level, whether that be in the WWE or whether that be on the independents, I really enjoy the guys that can talk. And it's an exciting time for me right now, because after losing, you know, the world championship, you're kind of forced to put yourself in a position and a predicament where you have to make yourself relevant and make yourself very interesting. So I just imagined to myself, I said, you know, how would the Adam Cole character respond to something like this? Because I've had two major losses coming up, and, you know, how would my character handle it? So it's been fun creatively for me to kind of dive into that area, and I actually have been, specifically as of late, been focusing a lot on growing as much as I can as far as my promos go.
Now, as for the match itself, it was, as you said, your promo. It was a tremendous match. I was there and got to see it live. And first time you got a chance to hook up with AJ Styles, I believe, a match that obviously would be someone that you would look forward to working with, I would imagine.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I remember in high school, me and my friends and my brother actually used to order the TNA pay-per-views, and we couldn't wait for AJ Styles' match to come on, because every single time he would steal the show. So, you know, at one point in time, and actually at this point in time, you could arguably say that AJ Styles is the best wrestler in the world. So for me to get the chance to get in there and tangle with him was very, very cool, and a cool full circle moment for me. And then getting to do it in Toronto, which is one of our best cities that we run in Ring of Honor, was even cooler on a bigger stage. So definitely very cool, and I can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, I was there, and the crowd was jacked up in Toronto again, as they always are. And I thought, you know, the two matches that you walk away from that show talking about was your match with AJ Styles and the match that the Young Bucks put on, your buddies from Mount Rushmore. I thought just did a tremendous job, and it was a great show. It really came off well, I thought.
Yeah, it was a crazy show too. I mean, we got a title switch. We had obviously a fantastic Young Bucks Red Dragon main event. The first time ever dream match with myself and AJ Styles. It was a really big card.
Yeah, and you know there was a bit of adversity with a few things with that card. And I thought, you know, everyone pulled together. And you talked last time we were on it about Ring of Honor being this team and this whole team like mentality. I think that really showed on that show.
Yeah, I think absolutely, and I think that's been really important for us, especially lately with you know, this addition, like I said, of pay per view. And the constant addition of new television markets that we're running and running more and more dates and things like that. I mean, to be honest, if Ring of Honor did not have that team mindset, I definitely don't think we'd be where we're at. I think we're very aware of the fact that we're all constantly trying to make each other better. We're all constantly trying to create as many main event stars as we can. And in turn, like I've said this before in multiple interviews, I think the coolest thing about ROH is from top to bottom, I think at any point in time, you could throw a guy in the main event scenario, and they'd be able to pull it off, because our roster is just that good. So I'm really proud of our roster, and I'm really proud of our team, and I know that great things are, you know, coming for us going forward.
And Ring of Honor's booked in a way that's acceptable to the fans. You don't get that in WWE right now. I mean, there's lots of talented guys in the WWE. That goes without saying. But the believability factor of guys being able to step up to the next level, that's an issue because of the way they're booked. And with all the injuries they have right now in WWE, that's really showing for their product. With Ring of Honor, you guys have had some injuries too, but you've been able to endure them and be able to move on better, I think. Like a guy like Silas Young, who was on a huge roll, he was one of the last people to work with Kevin, and the company keeps on churning.
Sure. I think it's just Ring of Honor's ability to recognize that we're all constantly worried about growing the brand, because you know guys will come and go, guys will get injured, exactly like you had mentioned. But it's very important to make sure that when somebody buys a ticket and it says Ring of Honor on your ticket, they know they're going to get a really exciting wrestling match. And you know, when that happens, that's because of the depth of the roster, like you had said, the intriguing, interesting storylines, and guys being put in positions where you have that feeling almost of anything can happen. So, yeah, that's very, very important.
I agree. And we'll get into a little bit of pro wrestling guerrilla talk. Let's start with the exit of Kevin Steen from pro wrestling guerrilla. I thought the way you four handled it was tremendous. I told the Young Bucks so myself. Just for people who might not have seen it, basically, it was an homage to the Ric Flair HBK match, and I thought you guys did a tremendous job with it.
Yeah. It was a combination of the infamous curtain call and the Ric Flair HBK finale at WrestleMania 24. Truth be told, you know, I know a lot of people really enjoyed Mount Rushmore and enjoy Mount Rushmore for what it is, but again, that was a scenario very similar to myself, Michael Bennett, and Matt Taven. Mount Rushmore is four guys who are legitimate friends. We all talk every day. We all stay in contact. We're all friends outside of the ring. So for us to share that moment together in a company that means so much to all of us, and more importantly means so much to Kevin, was really important to us. And it was really emotional. You know, there was some things said to each other in the ring that meant a lot to us. And again, that was a very real moment for Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, and was that a group effort that came up with that, or who actually came up with the finish there?
Yeah, that was a group effort. Actually, Actually, everything, pretty much for the most part, that our group did was always kind of figured out as a group, which I think is why it worked so well. Is we all think very similar, and we all have similar ideas. But, you know, different guys are more creative in certain areas, so I think in turn that was why it worked so well.
And Pro Wrestling Guerrilla obviously had their big event. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla has a WrestleMania. I would assume it is the Battle of Los Angeles.
That's correct.
That has not quite come out. Is it out on DVD yet or not?
I think it just released. I think either today or tomorrow it's available for order.
Okay, so give us the sales pitch. Why should people who maybe haven't seen Pro Wrestling Guerrilla get the Battle of Los Angeles?
Well, I think anybody who's seen you know, the lineup for this tournament, and if you haven't, here's just a few names. AJ Styles, Matt Sydal, myself, Michael Elgin, Roderick Strong, Zack Sabre Jr., who's the premier talent over in Europe. It was 24 of the top professional wrestling stars from all over the world under one crazy Reseda, California roof who absolutely love pro wrestling. And we delivered, I think, the best three-day tournament that has been seen in pro wrestling in quite some time. The Reseda faithful just absolutely loved the event. It delivered on every level. I think since I've been in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, it was the best weekend I've had at PWG, and it was just so much fun. So if you've ever seen a PWG preview up on YouTube, this three-day event completely encompasses what PWG is all about.
And Battle of Los Angeles, if you're getting into the PWG product, it's the perfect place to jump in on it, I think, because it's quite the event. I think the first ever PWG event I watched was a Battle of Los Angeles, and it really got me hooked on the product, and I thought the world of it, and it's just great stuff. We talked about it last time you were on, about all the fun that happens there. I called it a Disneyland, and I think it is to some extent. It's become the Disneyland for wrestling fans to some extent, and you know, Joey Ryan and Candace spend so much time at Disneyland, that's somewhat appropriate.
Right, yeah. The Battle of Los Angeles tournament, it's just whatever you're into, you know, if you're into strong style wrestling, if you're into high flyers, if you like comedy, if you like multi-man matches, there's a little bit of everything for everybody. And definitely this past Battle of Los Angeles tournament delivered that.
Indeed. And for you, things march along with the kingdom. What is in your wheelhouse aside from getting ready for this bachelor party, which I'm sure is going to be quite the event based on what you've said earlier. So what else is up in Adam Cole's world?
Well, I'm obviously keeping as busy as I possibly can. There's Ring of Honor has kept me very busy, like I said, with multiple things on the PR end. Obviously the stuff at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. I have a tour of Europe coming up soon, which will be very exciting. Ring of Honor is running some joint shows with Preston City Wrestling over in the UK, which will be really awesome because Ring of Honor has not been overseas in quite some time. So the fact that we're returning to that avenue is really, really cool, not only for the wrestlers, but for the fans. So there's some awesome stuff coming up before the end of the year.
And then, of course, it all culminates for ROH in ROH's version of WrestleMania with Final Battle. What do you expect for the Kingdom heading down that road to Final Battle?
Well, now that we've all formed and we all have our exact goals in mind, obviously my main goal is to, kind of like what we talked about at the beginning of this program, is getting the Ring of Honor World Championship back. In a perfect world, I went into last year's Final Battle defending the Ring of Honor World Championship. And if I could go into this year's Final Battle defending it again, that would be great, because that's my intention, to get it back as soon as I possibly can. So, me having my kingdom along my side certainly will help that. And I have no problem beating Jay Briscoe up one more time.
Yeah, because, I mean, lots of history with you and Jay Briscoe. And that was a moment when he won that belt in Toronto, because realistically, I don't think a lot of people saw that coming. And you got that kind of shocked moment from the crowd. It was really cool to be there. I think it's the first time I've ever been in the building for an actual world championship for a company changing hands. It was a cool experience.
Right, yeah. Anytime the ROH title changes hands or a new champion is crowned, it's always a really exciting moment, because the Ring of Honor World Championship is so prestigious. And specifically, like you had said, a lot of people did not expect or see that one coming. So when Jay Briscoe won, it was, certainly a very shocking moment, for everybody, for everybody in attendance.
Yeah, it was something. For you, what is 2015 looking like for Adam Cole? Where do you see Adam Cole being in 2015?
You just never know. That's really the truth in pro wrestling. You never know where you're going to end up. You never know what's going on. I've actually said this before, is my main goal in wrestling is just to constantly focus on what I can do to make myself better, or now specifically what I can do to make the kingdom better. Or, you know, if I'm with a unit, obviously focusing on that as well. But my thing is, as long as I'm constantly focused on improving every area of my game, good things will happen and good things do happen. So, yeah, you never know.
And one last thing to close this out. We have spent at length talking about what a great year it has been for you. And I imagine it would be very easy to get satisfied with that and very natural, to be quite honest. What keeps Adam Cole grounded these days?
I think the biggest thing is recognizing how you've gotten to these positions. And this is more just of me speaking kind of generally in life as it goes. Like the old phrase of I did it all by myself is simply not true. There's nothing in this world, there's nothing in our society that you can sit back and say, I did this all on my own. Nobody helps me. I do everything alone. We're constantly helping each other. Like earlier, I talked about the team effort of Ring of Honor. There's a team effort when you become a pro wrestler. There are people that you surround yourself with that help you improve, that help you get better, that are constantly tweaking little areas of your game and giving you opportunities. So I think the biggest thing for me as far as being grounded goes is I realize that obviously nothing has been handed to me, but I would not be in the positions that I'm in if somebody else didn't believe in me and someone else did not give me the platform to do as such. So I feel very blessed. I feel very fortunate. But at the same time, the crazy mindset that goes on with pro wrestling is because you're so passionate and because you care so much, it almost never feels like it's enough. You know, every time you taste something great, you sit back and smell the roses just for a second. But then you want to do even more, and you want to push forward even more, and you're constantly changing your goals, and you're constantly changing your game plan. So I think that's why pro wrestling is just the best job in the world, because it never gets stale, it never gets old, it's always exciting, and there's always room for improvement.
Yeah, and a wrestling match in and of itself is two guys cooperating to make something come off.
Mm-hmm. Right, and it's like it's the same thing there, too. So that's exactly how I feel is... With the opportunities that I've been given, it's because other people that I really respect and that I really look up to believed in me and gave me the chance to do as such. You know, the old adage of you know, a pro wrestling match that, for example, myself and AJ, people saying they really enjoyed the match. You know, it takes two to tango. If AJ Styles didn't want to make me look good that night, he didn't have to. It's the same with every match that you have or every performance that you have or a promo back and forth with somebody. It's a constant team effort, not only with the wrestlers, but the fans as well. The fans who come out to the event and are cheering and hooting and hollering and booing and whatever they're doing, as long as they're making noise and having a great time, that's when people sit back and either watch it on their television sets, watch it on a DVD, or watch it on pay-per-view and go, that looks really cool, I want to be there. And that's the team effort from everybody.
Well, listen, Adam Cole, if you're looking for a court jester for the kingdom, I would like to put my name in the hat. That's all right with you?
I'll be sure to have a meeting with the kingdom about that after we get off this.
Well, Michael's been on the show as well, and so has Matt Taven, so I have talked with all three of you guys, so you never know. But in all seriousness, though, thank you for your time. It was great to talk with you, as always, and keep doing the stuff you're doing, because you're having a great run here in 2014, and we wish you nothing but success, and... hopefully we see bigger and better things for Adam Cole as the future moves on.
Awesome. I really appreciate being on the program again. Thank you.
So there he was, Adam Cole. I'm telling you, Josh, I don't know about this party. Like you better be ready. I think this is going to be quite the event. Adam Cole has sold this in a way that I just cannot believe. I am very excited. He basically has promised a lot in that interview for this bachelor party, and also some cool stuff from him on a number of things. We got to talk a little bit about being part of the Pro Wrestling Illustrated top 10, and I thought just a cool, nice story talking about what it meant to him and all sorts of things. It's been a big year for Adam Cole, and I think everything that's come his way is deserving. And obviously, we never got deep into it, but there have been those rumors out there of where Adam Cole's future could take him. And if it does, I mean, obviously, I think he would fit in right in with that crew at WWE and NXT. But whatever Adam Cole does, I'm sure he'll do it well because he's just that kind of guy.
Yeah, I'm happy for him to be in the top 10 of the CWI list. I think it's pretty cool. He had one of the best, if not one of the best, performances throughout this year with his reign as champion. He's an all-around great performer, and make sure you get your way out to 115 Bourbon Street, folks that are listening from the Chicagoland area or even in the Midwest area. Make your way down to 115 Bourbon Street. You don't want to miss this party.
If they do not, after listening to Adam Cole, I don't respect them as like people who want to have a good time. I just don't. I'm sorry. Like Adam Cole, the funniest thing, I had seen this line, and we mentioned it in the interview. This is, and Adam Cole confirmed this because someone said this on the internet, and I wanted to get Adam Cole's take on it. This is The Hangover meets ROH. The movie The Hangover meets ROH. You cannot sell that any better. I mean, I don't know if Mike Tyson and a tiger are showing up, but you never know. Anything could happen. And it is, as Adam mentioned, it's one of these unsanctioned ROH events. And, you know, credit to ROH for building their kind of schedule around this whole marriage. Because I think, you know, that's a pretty cool thing, because a lot of the guys, I'm sure, the next day are going to be going to this wedding, and ROH isn't running a show that day. They've kind of changed their schedule from what they normally do, and that's a nice thing for both Mike and Maria, that ROH would be willing to do that as a company. And I just think this event has the potential to be one of the most hilarious things that people will see. We all know how wrestling weddings turn out, as I mentioned in the interview. We don't know how a wrestling bachelor party turns out, and I'm excited to find out.
We'll see what happens, man. I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully nothing too bad happens. I mean, and you never know what happens here in Chicago.
Well, you know, Adam Cole is probably, he said anything that can happen at a bachelor party that you could imagine could happen on this night, so there you go. Parental discretion advised, I would say. This is not your WWE PG event. I think that's safe to say. But that's cool. I mean, I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
I think it's already been said and done. I mean, you heard it in the interview right there. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, but ROH is doing fun things that bring it out of the box that you don't see from the other companies, so it's cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, and I expect a full report, basically. That's what I'm saying. And the coup de grace of that interview, Adam Cole, he didn't say no to me being the court jester of the kingdom. So I have my fingers crossed that, you know, my name is in the hat. And we have had, actually, it's funny, we have had every member of the kingdom on our program except for the bride-to-be. We have not had Maria on this show, but we have had Matt Taven, Michael Bennett, and Adam Cole. In fact, Matt Taven and Adam Cole have been on here twice, and great guys, all of them. I've enjoyed having them on, and really fun to talk with them, and we're hoping to do more of this stuff with ROH, and talking with some of the people that are part of that company, and we look forward to doing it, because I have not had a bad experience working with ROH to this point, and I think they're a great company, and they put on a great product, and, you know, with the way things have been in the WWE, it's a nice alternative for fans. If you want something different and you're not satisfied with your WWE, ROH is the perfect alternative to me, and I think it's an alternative that I like in comparison to a TNA. I think TNA tries to be too much like the WWE. I think ROH does nothing to try and be like the WWE.
You have other companies that have been around in the past, like ECW and a lot of other companies that try to brand themselves as anti-WWE this or anti-TNA that. I mean, I'm fine with alternatives. I just would like companies to brand themselves. They don't have to build their company on being anti-WWE's anti-TNA bad. Make yourself stand out from yourself, and I think ROH has done that from the most recent aspect of the company this time period. I think kind of in the early area, the 2000s, mid-2000s, they're all about, okay, this is our new company, we're better than WWE, we're going to try to be like ECW, but more wrestling than hardcore and guts and stuff. So I love ROH, I think it's a great company, I think now they're finally finding the right nucleus to make themselves stand out from other companies, and besides Lucha, I just wish the Sinclair broadcast put a little bit more effort into their presentation of ROH, but the sky's the limit, James. I hope nothing for the best ROH, and hopefully they can continue to further distinguish themselves to the wrestling fan base.
Yeah, and I've had conversations with Court Bauer, and they're slowly working on it. It's a process. I know that's one of the things with ROH. People want to see them, you know, step up their game as far as their television presentation. But you know, Rome isn't built in a day, and I think they're heading in the right direction. I think what was a big thing for them, and Adam talks about a lot of the PR work he did for Ring of Honor, or does for Ring of Honor, rather. And the fact they got into the Atlanta market and signed that syndication deal, I think that's a huge sign for Ring of Honor fans that, hey, you know what? Maybe, you know, the times are changing and we can see ROH in more markets, in bigger markets, and that'll help them out and increase their range and grasp. And, you know, it's been a interesting 2014 for Ring of Honor. I think they've gained a lot of ground. There's been a few things that have been a little bit up in the air lately, but I think they've really got a product that they're producing on a high level, more consistently than TNA and more consistently than the WWE is. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's more consistent than NXT. I think it's up to debate between those two different shows. But, yeah, I mean, people are going to want to watch wrestling for wrestling. That's always been the formula for over the years. I've heard it a million times on JR's podcast. He even told me about it in my interview I've done with him, that the sole purpose is you tune into a wrestling show to tune in to watch wrestling. You know, I think NXT is a perfect example of how you could balance sports entertainment into wrestling. Tonight, they had a bunch of wrestling matches, but in short, a minute and a half vignettes for backstage segments, they basically told the other developments and the other storylines they got going on. So the main focus you put into the ring and then do as brief talking as you can.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ring of Honor, they do the same thing. Like I think they let their guys talk, but it wasn't with Adam, it was with someone else, and I can't remember. It might have been Michael Bennett. But the one thing I said, you never get an 18-minute promo in ROH, and you're never going to get one of those in NXT either. And, you know, in the dream world, an NXT versus ROH supercard would be an unbelievable spectacle, especially with so many former ROH guys now in the mix down there at NXT. It would be quite interesting to see a card like that. That's never happening, though. What did happen, you're also at the WWE event this week because Raw was in Chicago, and just your impressions of being part of that zoo that is the Chicago faithful. There for Monday Night Raw, we got our CM Punk chants, we got all our craziness that we have come to expect from your native Chicagoans. Is that right, Chicagoans?
Yeah.
Okay, so we got all of that we expect from them, and I thought, for whatever reason, the WWE seems to step up their game when they come to Chicago because they know they have to. There was some bad stuff on this show, but they clearly knew where Raw was this week.
Yeah, I think you made a good point there. I mean, when it comes to shows like Chicago or Philadelphia or Toronto, maybe even Montreal for a further extent, I think sometimes you deal more with the good than you do with the bad. You are going to get a bad in a standard WWE show. It happens with the way the company is branded right now in the DC environment. I'm not really going to get into that argument. I mean, wrestling was PG in the 80s. I mean, ratings shouldn't matter if your wrestling product is good or not. So with that, with the show, I thought it was good. I enjoyed the live event experience. I mean, any way to avoid listening to JBL and Mike Cole and Jerry Lawler for 3 hours helps me out. And usually I find a good balance with this. So I like when I'm watching the Raw show because I'm covering it on between the road things, I find to find different ways to make myself enjoy the show while the show's actually going on. So let's say when it's the commentary going on, I just listen to music and just watch what's going on in the ring. Or I'll practice myself. I'll mute the TV and commentate it for myself because the more you focus on the negatives, the more you're going to be drifted away from the show. So I try to find different methods to enjoy my WWE experience. But the live event experience is fun. The Triple Threat match with Dolph Ziggler, Cesaro, and The Miz was awesome. I thought the editing with the sound for the TV version, the live TV version, I watched back on DVR when I came back was absolutely bad because I thought it was two different shows than the one I experienced and as opposed to the one you experienced. Sheamus probably has the loudest boom of the night, in my personal opinion. Chicago is loving all the Dean Ambrose stuff with Seth Rollins. I thought that was pretty awesome. The Miz-style character was getting everybody laughing. The Brie Bella and Nikki Bella stuff, I'm not going to get Eva Marie and Cameron thing. That's the whole Kevin Dunn and WWE decision to put those matches in there. I don't know why we got three Divas matches on the show. That's beyond me, but
I know why. It's called Total Divas, Josh.
Yeah, everything's called Total Divas in the network.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. I enjoyed the show. I thought the whole John Cena thing was kind of weird because he's trying to be a lapdog to somebody's new popular fame. Just because, I mean, I even heard this in his interview with Michael Cole this week, the fact that, yeah, Dean has a issue that Seth Rollins was trying to kill his career, but John Cena was this close to beating Brock Lesnar, and he was trying to make the point that Dean Ambrose doesn't understand where he's coming from and all that. So I don't know where they're going to go with that, but overall, if I had to give it a grade or anything, James, I would give it like a B- based on my live event experience.
Wow, you like ran through the whole show, except for one thing. And I'm glad you left it out, because it was clearly the low point of this show for me. It was the Gator, the Bull, and the Bunny. If you didn't see Raw, we had, of course, El Torito. I think everyone knows that was the Bull. We had Hornswoggle dressed as a Gator, and of course,
yep,
Adam Rose's Bunny, and I don't even know what happened. It was just a blur of ugliness on my screen, and I just wanted it to end as quickly as possible. I'm debating which was worse, the Bella segment or this, and the Bella segment was bad, and it had Cameron and Eva Marie in it, who cannot wrestle a lick. I still may vote for this segment as the worst segment on the show this week. It was terrible. I mean, we had Hornswoggle trying to pretend to bite someone as the alligator. I don't know.
Yeah. And that also goes up there with the Tyson Kidd and Natalya texting Summer Raving throughout the show. That was really special. I think something that was kind of catching me off guard that I actually liked was the Mark Henry and Bo Dallas thing. Bo Dallas actually picked up the victory this time. And I think we're getting what people want. We want to see Mark Henry turn back to that vicious monster, and we'll see where that goes from there.
That almost felt like a double turn. It really did.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't think Bo Dallas is going to turn face. I don't. But it had the feeling of a double turn because Mark Henry beat the hell out of poor Bo. And Bo just, you know, all Bo did was win the match. I mean, that's all he did at the end of the day. He didn't really, correct me if I'm wrong, he didn't really do anything nefarious to win, did he?
No, he won clean.
Yeah, so, I mean, Bo's just being Bo, and Mark Henry snaps on him and just destroys him. And, I don't know, that was, people want to see Mark Henry as a heel. I think Mark Henry is better suited to be a heel. Although, Mark Henry has some amazing acting chops in him. Like, we talk about wrestlers and the acting element of things, and a lot of them can't pull it off. Mark Henry can pull it off in spades. I mean, the stuff he did in this Rusev feud, crying for the national anthem and just all kinds of things. I mean, it dates back to that little short run he had with John Cena, where, you know, he came out, faked the retirement. I mean, Mark Henry, I think when all is said and done, he's one of the underappreciated guys in the WWE right now. And maybe, you know, it's because he's been through so much. He's had so many ups and downs. But he's clearly, he's in a good place right now at the end of his career in comparison to a guy like The Big Show, who I just, The Big Show annoyed the heck out of me on Raw.
Like, you didn't like the Big Lebowski wrestling?
All his jokes were so dated that I think all the audience under 20 had no idea what The Big Show was talking about. And then we get into this whole thing where he ends up ripping down the flag and the WWE's issuing apologies. I'm like, where's the apology for the whole entire Iron Sheik's run in the WWE? Where's that, WWE? I mean, he basically, you know, put down Canada and the USA for years. He didn't issue an apology. I mean, like there's lots of things that have happened in the WWE. I feel like almost like I should write a column on things the WWE should have apologized for and didn't, rather than what they actually did apologize for with this whole Russian flag incident. I don't know about you, Josh, but I'm thinking the WWE's empire is not built on Russian income. I don't think they tour much in Russia. I'm unaware of sales of the WWE network in Russia, but I'm thinking they're not all that high. You know, I thought this was the WWE at its politically correct finest.
Yeah, you've said on the nail right there. It's the fact that they're a public company now. And I always thought wrestling companies should have been more of a private company because pro wrestling has a stigma that mainstream, like, advertisers and businesses and partners or stockholders, whoever you have a dark eye when it comes to wrestling. And you're going to run into these issues. I mean, hence the reason why we get the things we get on TV. Hence why the WWE TV. You know, people blame Linda McMahon for the reason why WWE TV. No, it's the fact that there's the network that they're on, USA Network and Sci-Fi. We're only going to air the WWE under a PC scaling. I mean, if people need to look back at the fact that how many stuff that the WWE had to go through during the Attitude Era, with the people and the sponsors and the partners that are unhappy with the product they're putting on. But the thing with the WWE at the time was that they were catering to what was going on in society during this time. I kind of think they're catering towards what's going on in society right now, because in all major entertainment companies, it's about what's politically correct. I don't think I'm wrong in that. Whether it's good or bad or indifferent is up to speculation, but yeah, you're going to get these issues with the Russian thing. I don't know if people from Russia were sending them death threats or were really upset with what was going on Monday.
I don't think any of that was happening, Josh. I think it's just the WWE being preemptive.
Yeah, but I just feel sometimes when it comes to wrestling angles, WWE is out of their hands. As much as Vince McMahon is going to put John Cena right in front of your face, and I know he wants to, it comes out of Vince's hand. I think the sponsors and the partners and the network are basically running the show. I don't even think the McMahons are running the show anymore.
Oh, I think that's not true. Vince is always at the forefront of things with the WWE. I mean, Vince is always calling the shots. That's ask anyone that's been part of this company. They will tell you that. But has Vince gotten soft over the years? Yeah, maybe. Because, I mean, the Vince McMahon I know was the Vince McMahon that stuck his fingers up to the government and said, you're not going to get me on a steroid charge, and he beat it. And he was the guy that during the Attitude Era would, you know, just let DX run amok and he would deal with the flack he would get from USA Network on a weekly basis, and eventually they won over USA, and USA actually became fans of the whole DX gimmick. But it just seems like the politically correctness is at an all-time high, and I think you mentioned Linda McMahon, and I think the fact that she did run for government a couple of times did play some role in the direction the WWE took at the time. And one of the things, too, at the time that this has all happened, I think it's one of those times of the year where the WWE really tries to be that friendly corporate company, because they have their relationship with Susan G. Komen and raising funds for the breast cancer awareness. And, you know, that's a time when they're probably at their most politically correct sensitivities. So timing had a little bit to do with it, too. And of course, we had the Hulkster out there, brother. He was promoting those pink T-shirts, and still doesn't know how to say the words WWE Network. That's not in his wheelhouse, but Chicago seemed to still love the Hulkster, though. I have to admit that.
Yeah, he got probably, if not the loudest reaction of the show. I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, I've seen Hulk Hogan before at a TNA show after when they had the whole Ace and Nate forming at once. Bully Ray became the leader. They came to Chicago for that first Impact taping out there for that show, and Hulk Hogan was on crutch watching on the stage. So it was cool to see him. It was my first time hearing real Americans live in person, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, you know the Hulkster, he's been doing this for years, brother. And you're not going to tell the Hulkster what to do, brother. But no, it's kind of funny how Hogan, the contrast between Hogan TNA and Hogan WWE. It's really, it's quite interesting, because Hogan would do these kind of flubs in TNA all the time too. But the WWE, in the way they do business, boy, Hogan comes off a lot better than he ever did on TNA. And that's just simply the truth, because they've kept him in a role that he can handle. And that might have been a bit of a challenge for the Hulkster, though, having to remember all the stuff for that promo. So, you know, it was tough on the Hulkster. That was a lot of stuff to remember. But, you know, he, as much as I hate to admit it, because I've never really been a Hulkamaniac, but the guy still gets a reaction, and you know, you can question a lot of the things that have happened in his life, but clearly people still want to see him. I don't think they want to see him wrestle, though. And that's one of the things with the Hulkster. He keeps talking about having this one more match. No, seriously, Hulk. No one wants to see that.
Yeah, nobody wants to see that.
You know, to get back to Raw, I think the way Triple H and Stephanie came out and handled that Chicago crowd was brilliant.
Yeah, I thought it was cool, too. I kind of wish you got more for Triple H, because I think more of the issue when it comes to the whole CM Punk issue is between him and CM Punk. And I think we get a little bit too much of Stephanie when it comes to that, because even the crowd, and even when Paul Heyman came out and then he started to put threats towards Triple H, she got right in his face and started trying to defend her husband. I don't know, sometimes I feel Triple H kind of quivers down when it comes to the Chicago crowd. The fans want to find out why he's not in the company right now. Look at the guy in the ring. Let the guy in the ring tell you why that's not happening.
I don't know. I think that Stephanie's the perfect foil, though. And I think they both know it. Because I think as much as people may not like Hunter at times, they hate Stephanie. They've always hated Stephanie.
I thought it was kind of cool that she was like endorsed saying that Chicago is perfect, but it's kind of true. When it comes to sports, Chicago is one of the most bandwagon cities in the USA. So like, even the little jazz she puts in, even before she gets into the real storyline, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, Stephanie, I've said this on a podcast before, and I truly mean this. I know Stephanie probably has a lot of things on her plate, but there really needs to be a promo class with Stephanie McMahon down at NXT especially for the ladies down there, because that woman is oh so good on the microphone, and
absolutely,
you know, Paul Heyman is another one. Like those two battling wits on the microphone is fun to watch. We've seen it a few times in the WWE, and they are two of the best right now on the microphone. And you know, it's a shame in a way, because we're not talking about wrestlers. We're talking about an authority figure, and Paul Heyman does not like the term manager, so he is an advocate, I believe, is what he likes to be referred to as. And those are two of your best talkers in your program, although Dean Ambrose is getting awfully close.
Yeah, Dean Ambrose is Dean Ambrose, and I think people latch on to him for that. He's pretty cool. I think Seth Rollins has been doing pretty good as the whining and complaining heel. I think he's been doing all right in that fashion. John Cena is John Cena. People love him. People hate him. His promos are hit and miss with me when it comes to like major storylines. This is my opinion. I think that it was kind of funny when they do that backstage skit with The Miz and Damian Sandow going into the locker room, the authority, and screaming, "Oh, I can't handle this! Give me my one-on-one rematch!" And then Triple H was like, "Oh, if you want to continue your straight-to-DVD career movies and avoid the appointment line, get out of my room."
And people, see, this is the thing. People on the internet said, you know, like, "Oh, how could Triple H say that? I mean, doesn't he remember that he was in The Chaperone and the Inside, whatever that other movie was?" Yeah, he does, and that's why he said it. Because it's a line that can play back and bounce back on him. And one last thing, I think we'll close out with this.
Okay.
I was a huge fan of The Stooges 2.0. I am a big fan of Joey Mercury and Jamie Noble reprising the role of Pat Patterson and Gerald Briscoe. I think this must continue. This is very good stuff. I'm not sick of this in the slightest. I know it's just started, but I really could see this for weeks on end, and I think it would be tremendously funny, because I think you have Mercury, who's clearly the straight man, and you've got Jamie Noble, who's clearly a guy who can be very comedic. And we saw it in his brief time in the WWE, where, I mean, that whole run he had with Nydia, where he won the lottery, was some of the funniest stuff in not just Jamie Noble's career, but some of the funniest stuff on Raw at the time. I think what was those two with that gimmick. And I think these two could really end up doing well for themselves in this role. And I like it, quite frankly. I think it makes sense, and it would be something that would be fairly fun. And obviously them pegged with Dean Ambrose. We've heard the comparisons, which I don't think are fair to Dean, but to Stone Cold Steve Austin. I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin, for as much as people glamorize his run, and it was glamorous at times, a lot of weeks Stone Cold Steve Austin was beating up the Stooges. That's what he was doing. He was stunnering Briscoe and Patterson, and I think that's a great way for Dean Ambrose to spend his time as he tries to get at Seth Rollins, trying to get through these two knuckleheads all the time. I think I like it much better than I like corporate Kane, I'll tell you that much.
I don't know, man. Kane's got the most feet under Roger than anybody for some reason. I actually been a Kane fan. So, like, I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of his corporate run or whatever. I actually was a big fan of his during the Steam Hell No days. I thought that was funny acting. I thought it was pretty cool. But, yeah, with the Dean thing, I think I cringe a little bit when I hear compared to Austin or CM Punk or whatever. I would like some of these characters in today's generation to be themselves. I hate the fact that these fans put the stigma just comparing them to the guys in the Attitude Era. Why can't we let these guys stand out on what they do by themselves? myself.
But that's not just a wrestling thing, Josh. I mean, I come from the world of basketball. We're forever looking for the next Michael Jordan. I got news for you. You're not going to find him. There isn't going to be a next Michael Jordan. There's not going to be a next Wilt Chamberlain, by the way, or a next Bill Russell. There's star players that are just unique in their own individuals. And, I mean, is Kobe Bryant ever going to be as good as Michael Jordan? I don't know. Probably not. Is LeBron James? I don't know. Probably not. But they don't necessarily have to be. It's like comparing generations and pegging guys with he's the next this or he's the next that. It can be damaging. I think we've seen that with Roman Reigns. I think Roman Reigns' injury, as much as it's obviously sucks for Roman, and I'm sure he's upset about it, I think it might be the biggest blessing in disguise, because fans were getting to the point, they were getting so nitpicky about Roman Reigns that I think they were ready to throw him under the bus and rebel against him getting pushed. And that wouldn't have done Roman Reigns any good, and it wouldn't have done the WWE any good at the end of the day. And Roman Reigns, quite frankly, he doesn't deserve that. He's not Dean Ambrose, he's not Seth Rollins, no one ever said he was. But what he is he's a big guy, he has presence, and he obviously has been treated a certain way from the very beginning of the Shield. I mean, this is no surprise that he's the guy that the WWE sees the most mileage in and the most potential in. I don't think that should be a shock to anyone. But everyone just seems to want to pick apart like Roman Reigns to pieces, and I feel bad for the guy because he's the guy with the least experience out of the three. And I think he's come a long way, quite frankly, from when he debuted on the roster. I mean, he was well hidden at the beginning. He did the big powerbomb spot, and he didn't do much else. Now, at least he has a bit to him. Like he's got some moves. He's got a few setups, and I think he was starting to get on the right path. But I think ultimately, this injury could be a blessing in disguise for him, depending on how all the timing works out when he comes back.
Yeah, I agree with you. I kind of felt bad for him because they're already putting him on the John Cena, Randy Orton stature, where they're just like, oh, we're done with this guy. He's been shoved down our throats. I don't know how a guy is shoved down your throats when he's only been there for 2 years, and the guy spent about the majority of his career so far on TV with a faction. So I don't get that. I mean,
he's been a singles wrestler for what, 6 months, 9 months?
Yeah.
I mean, look. Let's chill, people. Like, Roman Reigns is not... the female audience is behind us on this one, Josh. That's all I can say. A lot of girls dig Roman Reigns, and I get that. I'm okay with that. I understand. A lot dig Dean Ambrose, too. In fact, all three of those guys, the biggest thing they have going for them is they all have their own unique female fan base. Because I think all three of them attract female eyeballs to the product, and that's part of when you look for that mix of what makes a big top level star. Hate to break it to you guys, that's part of the deal. The WWE likes it that they can attract female fans with a top drawing guy, and it doesn't hurt. Like, you know, all those mothers that take the kids, they dig Roman Reigns. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Roman is one of those guys, and he's not the best at the mic, but who knows? Maybe he could be when he came back.
And I want
this to play out over time. I think sometimes we as fans tend to rush things too quick. I mean, you look at guys like Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, where the full presentation until like 5 years into their WWE TV career. So I'm like, hold off a minute. You know, even if the Wyatt family are not on a TV on a pay-per-view, people already assume they're married.
Well, that was a little mysterious. I'm a little concerned for Bray Wyatt. I was glad to see him take that kind of step back to square one this week, and I thought those vignettes were a good thing for Bray Wyatt, and people are interpreting them to mean, we're going to get Luke Harper as a single, and that would be interesting as well, because I know a lot of people, we talked about comparisons, a lot of people love to compare this guy to Bruiser Brody. I don't think he's that, but he definitely is a unique talent and very different from everything else you see on WWE TV. There's no question about that.
Absolutely.
And I think we'll leave it there. You know, it was fun having you along for the ride, Josh. And like I said, take care at the bachelor party. We thank Adam Cole for coming on board with us and letting us know about all the planning that is going into this event that takes place next week in Chicago. That's why we had Adam on this week, because it's actually going to take place on a Friday. So we would have been putting out the podcast, and the event would already been going on. So we got Adam on this week, and we were able to make that happen. So good luck to Adam Cole, and hopefully he does not tick off the bride, because that's the main thing. Adam Cole does not need to fear anyone in ROH except for Maria Kanellis, at least for the next week. That would be what I would say. Maria Kanellis is the one person that Adam Cole should fear for the next 8 days. After that, we'll see. But till then, that's the person he should be worried about. But in all seriousness, congratulations to those two, Maria and Michael Bennett. They seem like, I mean, I don't know them personally, but it just seems from everything I've ever seen of them, they seem like a really cool couple, and hopefully their marriage comes off without a hitch, and they are hitched and happy, and all is well with them as they get ready to tie the knot, so to speak, in your neck of the woods there in Chicago. So with that said, we wish the soon-to-be newlyweds good fortune, and we wish Adam Cole survival based on this bachelor party, that everything works out well, and we are out of here for this week. Thanks to our guest Adam Cole, and thanks to Josh for coming along for the ride. Chris Walder will be back next week, we are told, and he will be all geeked up for Raptor season and wrestling. I'm not sure which he'll be more geeked up for, but we'll find out next week when Walder rejoins the program. So that is it for us. Take care, and don't spike your hair. That's not cool anymore.